Data Doctors report to the studio. You're live in 2 minutes.
This is the Data Doctors 2 Minute Drill.
If you are connected, can you be too connected? Can you be hyper-connected?
Well, not can you be. We are hyper-connected today. Our kids are growing up as hyper-connected human beings.
What is the definition of hyper-connected?
Texting, email, social media, like 5 million. You used to have a couple of communication protocols.
The phone,
person-to-person. Now you have 18 different things, and our kids are growing up this way. And a lot of people feel like it's going to be to their detriment.
Why is it to their detriment? This is the greatest. We are communicating now more than we ever have.
I, as a parent of two millennials that are kind of aging and maturing, I have a different perspective. All you old fogies out there that keep trying to use yesterday's measurements to measure today's activities, epic fail. That's why you keep having problems with understanding what's going on. It's just like when you see two people sitting across from each other at a restaurant and they're not talking to each other, they're on their smartphone, you're going, look at them, they don't know how to communicate. But then when you look at the next table and it's two old folks reading newspapers ignoring each other, you don't have the same impression.
But so are we overstimulating our brains by multitasking? Are we trying to do too much?
Well, there's no such thing as multitasking because your brain can only do one thing at a time. However, we do time slice, and that's what our kids are good at that we're not, that we don't understand, us older folks. So forget about continuing to look at these kids measuring like you used to 50 years ago. It's not going to work.
I'm sorry. What were we just talking about?
I don't know.
I got a text. I got to go.
Train of thought.
Stand by.
Cue intro music in 5 seconds.
4, 3, 2.
Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
Yes, it's that time again to listen, laugh, and learn. Welcome back to the Data Doctors radio program.
Each and every week, we help thousands of people in our stores, in their offices, in their homes, all across the country. Then we bring that experience to the radio to help thousands more on the weekend.
2 out of 3 doctors recommend that you listen to the show only because the third one's on assignment. It's Ken and Spanky, the Data Doctors du jour, here to provide education and entertainment that we like to call
edutainment. If you're giving up your Facebook password,
is it worth your job?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Hey, you know, aside from that big blue E that a lot of people, especially you Windows users, are used to, is there a better browser and are they really that different?
And if you hate Facebook's timeline, how do you get rid of it? We'll tell you a few things.
Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, son, you want a job at this conglomeration? This multinational,
yes, sir.
International?
Yes,
then
sir.
I'll need to take a look at your Facebook. You'll need to give me your username and password so I can see how you conduct yourself in private.
Sir, I can't do that.
We'll need to make sure that you don't have any...
I have a personal life, sir.
We'll need to examine the underwear in your drawer to see if there are any streaks in there that we should know about.
But aren't I allowed to have my own personal life?
I'll need to look at all your mail before we can even consider hiring you.
Is this really where we're going as a society?
No, it's not. You know what? This is just indicative of the same problem we're having everywhere. The people that make decisions in this world in this period of time clearly don't get what's going on.
They're dinosaurs.
And they continue to make redonkulous decisions and mistakes when it comes to these new communication protocols. It's not just employers. It's our educators. It's our legislators. It's everyone that's in a position of power that did not grow up. And frankly, half of these people don't even use these tools. So their understanding is so remotely off. And so to them, it makes perfect sense. You need to show us your Facebook stuff so that we understand who you are, so that we can make a determination whether we want you to join our
sure.
team or not.
You know, this opens up. So employers are doing this and asking for this information because they think that this is going to give them some information, something about this candidate that they don't know. But I don't think they're looking at the big picture, because what this does is this opens them up for liability. For suits?
Actually, technically, they're violating Facebook's terms of service and could actually be held criminally negligent for doing this.
Right.
Now, and let's be fair. If this is not rampant, there have been a few situations as a percentage of the employers out there. There have been a few examples of companies starting to do this. So the reality is that this is not happening all over the place. But the fact that even a handful are doing it, we need to nip this in the bud right now.
Right. So let's say someone does give up their password and the employer goes and checks on them. And the person who checks on them has a bias. Let's say they don't like gay people. And they find out by being on this person's Facebook page that this person is homosexual. They don't get a job because of that. There's a discrimination suit like that.
But you got to be able to prove that that's why they didn't get the job.
Yeah,
I think a little tougher.
Yeah, I think this opens up a can of worms.
Here's the bottom line. If you're an employer and you think this is a good idea, let me tell you a couple of things that you need to understand. The people that you're looking to bring into your organization, A, even if they do take the job, I guarantee you they've got an eye out looking for another employer because they clearly are not going to feel comfortable with an employer that is just so clueless. The second problem you're going to have is you're going to have people that would have been great employees that you're going to chase away because of your ignorance. So if you had any indication or if you've got any inclination as an employer to start doing this, take it from us. 3 out of 3 data doctors will tell you, you're stupid. Don't do it.
This is just a dumb thing.
And you know what? And I don't know anybody out there. I know getting a job is, I mean, it's a tough economy. Fortunately, it's getting better. So hopefully that'll help. But, oh, man, do everything you can to not work for somebody that requires you to do that.
Yeah. And speaking of Facebook and social, for weeks we've been inviting you guys into the newest, hottest social network. It's the most... How do you describe Pinterest? It is the coolest visual social network you've ever seen.
For ladies.
I like it, too.
You're in the 3 or 4%.
What, I'm a dude chick?
I don't know what you are, but... I mean, it is absolutely phenomenal as a communication tool. It has more users than Foursquare now.
Yeah.
And Foursquare's been around for years. This has been around for 6 months.
Yeah.
You just post the pictures and you have discussions and you repin them. And those of you that don't understand what we're talking about, again, we'll hold it out to you. Right now, it's an invitation-only network. If you have an interest in Pinterest, just do what we've been telling you every week. Just go to our Facebook page and say, I have an interest in Pinterest. We'll work with you to get your email address and then get you invited.
Yeah, and don't put your email address on our Facebook page.
No.
But the reason we're talking about Pinterest is because, like with any social network, with anything that becomes popular, what do you think happens as soon as something becomes popular?
Scam and a toothbrush.
Pinterest has now become the most scam-filled...
Oh, no, it's the easiest place for spammers to live.
Right, because people aren't... suspecting things.
Well, there was a story last week about a guy that's making about $1,000 a week putting things up there that he's pretending to be these ladies that are on Pinterest. That's, oh, I love this dress, and if you do too, you can love it, you can buy it here, and he gets an affiliate kickback
right
for doing that. So he's not a real Pinterest user.
Right. So just like on Facebook, when you see those click scams where if you click a like button, you're going to get a check from this. Pay attention when you see gift cards that are. You know, click here and pin this and
repin
it. No.
Yeah, if you have to repin in order to win,
right?
That's a sin.
Oh, I like that.
Don't go in.
You're like Dr. Seuss.
Then you'll win.
And so look for those. And also, there are going to be boards out there that suddenly just take off that are super enticing. Ones that just look like too good to be true.
Yeah.
If it's too good to be true, the same rule applies year in, year out. Doesn't matter what the network is. If it's too good to be true. It probably is.
And here's another one you need to be very, very careful on. So you'll see all kinds of logos for big brands on pins.
Yeah.
And when you click on it, when you go to that particular board, if it's actually not affiliated with that company, be very, very careful. Even if it's a friend of yours that repinned it, it's very easy to get scammed. So we've got links to a couple of different stories that help you understand how to sniff out this thing, this evil stench that's starting to build on Pinterest.
The evil Pinterest scams.
Be armed.
Hey, coming up, Apple's giving back your money.
Well, some places. Also, what's a registry error and how do you fix it?
It's coming up right here on the Data Doctors Radio program. We know lots of you listen to the Data Doctors radio program so you can share our tips and tricks with your friends and family. But did you know you can share more than that? You can share us.
That's right. Just because your friends and family don't live near a Data Doctor store doesn't mean they can't experience our award-winning service, the same service you've trusted since 1988.
We can help them physically or virtually. That means we can come to them in their home, at their office, or we can remote in anywhere they are.
We only allow highly skilled, trustworthy U.S.-based technicians to come to you or to connect to your computer. No more of this,
thank you for calling tech support.
And, of course, the connection is encrypted and secure.
Now you can get Data Doctor's award-winning service anywhere you travel, and you can introduce your friends and family to our service.
Data Doctors, our service is convenient, safe, and secure, and we're based right here in the U.S. of A. That means we don't speak tech babble. We speak English.
Help is just a phone call away, 888-545-1988.
That's toll-free anywhere in the U.S., 888-545-1988.
Data Doctors, tell your friends we can fix it now.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
In an unprecedented, unheard-of move, Apple is issuing refunds to some third-gen iPad owners. Apparently, they filed a suit because they're not able to FaceTime over 4G. What's really odd, though, is you can turn your iPad into a 4G mobile hotspot and FaceTime off of other devices.
But still not the iPad.
But still not the iPad. So you can't do it without being connected to Wi-Fi, and that, my friends, is an Apple fail. Check out the rest of the story, datadoctors.com/radio.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
That is, how did no one at Apple, like, go, guys,
because Steve Jobs is no longer here. That's why.
Oh, please. This is way before Steve Jobs passed.
Yay.
The design and the implementation anyway.
That's my excuse for at least the next year.
Whatever. Hey, don't forget, we're here to help you around the clock on our Facebook page, facebook.com/datadoctors. Like Chris. Chris asked us a question. What
did
he ask?
So first of all, Chris wanted to know, he said, great show. I'm assuming he's talking about what we're doing right now.
Let's hope.
We hope. he has a personal preference question for us. He wants to know, Firefox or Google Chrome for home computing? I've been loyal to Firefox for a long time, but does Google Chrome offer more? What do you think?
I will tell you, Chris, and I'll tell everybody out there, I actually use both.
Yeah, I do too. I use both, but my preference is definitely Google Chrome for a few reasons.
My go-to is Chrome as well.
Okay, so here are my reasons. I use multiple computers, okay? I have computers at home. I have computers in my office. I have a laptop. And the thing I love about Chrome, which makes my life super convenient for what I do, is it synchronizes all of my web browsers' preferences.
Bookmarks, history.
Bookmarks. Yeah. Everything. So no matter what computer I'm using, I can start on one. It's just like a DVR. It's just like watching DirecTV. I can start on one computer, go to another one, and just pick up right where I left off.
And you can actually accomplish that with all the browsers now because there are third-party apps that and add-ons that allow you to do that. But it's kind of built into the whole where the world has gone with Google in general. The thing I like about Google Chrome is it has something called sandboxing. It does a really good job of making sure that some of the common exploits that are, you know, the attacks that are perpetrated on Internet Explorer and Firefox both, they've built some security into that, so it is more secure. It's definitely the quickest, lightest on its feet, and in fact, the new version, version 18 that's coming out, is actually going to be faster for those old computers. They're literally tightening up the code. So you can get faster graphic play and what have you, even on an older computer. So they're really, really trying to keep this thing really super light.
So if you're using a 386?
Not so much.
Not so much. Still doesn't work.
I don't even think they allow those on the internet.
The other thing about Google Chrome that I'm a real big fan of is the cloud printing.
Cloud printing's awesome.
Cloud printing. So for those of you who don't know what that is, let's explain this in English. Cloud printing is the way you can set up your printers is that I could be sitting in my office at the house and have a document that I need to print at the office at the Data Doctors headquarters. I can send that to my printer at Data Doctors. It will print and be sitting there. So if somebody needs something from me and they need the physical printout, I can print it remotely and it'll show up where I want it.
Here's a great example of that. You're sitting at home at night and you have a business trip scheduled. You and I are going on a business trip.
Yes.
We're going to be popping into the office real quick before we go to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
I can print your boarding pass from my house on the corporate printer so that when you walk in, you're just, boom, ready to go.
Grab it and go.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are very practical ways to use that. So, and we're going to see some more expansion of that. But anyway, what I would suggest is that everyone out there, especially if you're on Windows and Mac as well, make sure that you have, you know, you've got an Internet Explorer. You don't have any choice on Windows. And you have Safari on the Mac side. Go ahead and install both Firefox and Google and play around with it, and you make your own decision. But it's always good to have those extra browsers for troubleshooting anyway.
Right.
Because if you only have one browser and you're having Internet problems, you're kind of stuck. So you want to have that as a backdrop. So just take our advice and get all three of them and play around for yourself.
And thanks, Chris, for your comments on the show. We kind of think it's a great show, too.
We like it.
Quick cautionary note. If you're a newer iMac owner, you know, like me,
yeah,
do as I say and not as I do. Be careful if you're putting an SD card into the right side of your Mac to get pictures off of a card. You know, those cards that you have in your digital cameras?
Sure.
Only about a quarter of an inch separates the DVD slot from the SD slot. So you can really quickly and easily and accidentally put the SD card into the wrong slot. And I spent about an hour
fishing it out.
Yes.
Did you have to take the unit apart? Or?
Fortunately, I didn't because I figured out a way to get it out. And the way I got it out, I would never recommend it. I'm not going to tell people what I did because it's
dangerous.
It's dangerous.
You could screw up that optical drive.
But I knew that if I did, we could take care of that.
Yeah, so you knew if you screwed up your machine, you could bring it in and have the boys save you, huh? Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
What can I say?
Hey, you know all those Mac users out there that are surfing porn?
Wow, yes. No, I mean, no.
Oh, excuse me. Those Mac users that, let's say, they have no qualms clicking on an erotic image?
Yes.
They might want to pay attention to this next story.
Apparently, for us in the Mac world, we think that we're immune to malware. And I got to tell you, I'm going to get on my soapbox here. Because for years, we've lived in this world of nothing can harm us. And I think that set us up for a very dangerous precedent that we still believe that we're living back 15 years ago, 10 years ago.
When nobody bothered to try to attack Mac users, yeah.
We're a popular platform now, Mac users, and malware is coming.
Well, it's not coming. It's here. It's been here.
Here.
Now, let's be real, though. As a percentage of attacks, there's still nowhere near as many exploits targeting Mac users. So it's not like it's suddenly as bad as it is for the Windows world. Having said that, if you're one of those that believes I'm safe no matter what I click on when it comes to comes to your Mac, you know, there's this exploit that actually takes advantage of people, you know, to try to convince you to click on this erotic image.
Yep.
Which basically takes advantage of some, I mean, if you want to get into the technical information, we've got that posted. But suffice it to say, just by clicking on this image, you started down this path that you can be exploited. They're also targeting old Microsoft Office vulnerabilities. So again, it's not about attacking the operating system. It's attacking what you use, the browser, the your Office programs,
right,
all of that stuff.
Yeah, before Pages and Numbers, a lot of us Mac users and still use the Office suite. Microsoft makes a great suite with Office, Word, Excel, those.
And allows you to be interactive with your Windows code counterparts.
If you see something, you've got to update this, and you go to update this file, all of a sudden, you've gotten the malware installed.
And again, if you're still using Safari as a Mac user, that is the least secure browser on the planet. Install Google Chrome, quit using Safari, because that is the most targeted program on the Mac platform. So
yeah, you don't want to play with the weakest link in the chain. Find something a lot stronger.
Yeah, no kidding.
And Google Chrome is that.
So when we come back, 3, 2, 1, Angry Birds blasts off. Why is this silly game so popular?
We love it. I love it, too. Also, if you're looking for work, we have the answer. Or maybe we have an answer.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, go to datadoctors.com/radio to see why Rupert Murdoch, the former media giant, can't seem to get himself out of under all these scandals. Apparently, he hired hackers to crack the code of a rival pay TV company, basically allowing their customers to get service for free and put them out of business. Not so fair and balanced, huh?
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
That's capitalism gone crazy.
Rupert
gone
Murdoch,
wild.
Yeah. Fair and balanced. Not so much. What is fair and balanced is that over the last couple of years, you know, we've all watched the economy struggle and have its down cycle, and there's also up cycles. And as the economy is rebounding, jobs are starting to come around, and there's more companies hiring. And we thought we'd take an opportunity to talk about some of the stuff that's going on inside our company at Data Doctors.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're always looking, and we're fortunate in that we are continuing to grow. And so we're always looking for those smartest guys and girls in the room. Lots of people out there that love tech. We love what we do. And we love having people join us that love what we do. So we're Data Doctors is hiring specifically in the Dallas-Fort Worth, San Diego, and the Phoenix metro area where we're headquartered. So if you're a tech person, you know a tech person that likes to have fun and help others, it's what we're all about. DataDoctors.com/jobs. Let them know.
And all the info we talk about during the show can be found in one place. It's the only link you need to remember if you can't remember any of them. And that's datadoctors.com/radio.
Bada bing. Hey, Angry Birds. I got Angry Birds HD for my iPad.
Yes.
It's definitely a great way to kill time on a long flight. No question.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sure the people around me are going, how long can you play that thing? Don't you get sick of that?
So let me start my love affair with Angry Birds. So 2 years ago, we were on the beach in San Diego. It was my family. So me, my wife, my five kids, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, their two kids, my father-in-law. And my wife came home to this house that we had rented, and all of the guys are sitting around playing Angry Birds.
And
she's looking at us going, we're here in San Diego. We're on the beach. Why are you in the house? Because we're addicted to this game. By the way, that's Angry Birds in Space, their newest game. Angry Birds, for those of you who've never played it, is one of the most addictive games, but it is so fun that you could get lost in this thing for hours. Even an old guy can get lost in it for hours.
Why are you pointing at me?
I wasn't. I was just looking at you. Don't take offense to it.
But look at the numbers on this. So Angry Birds Space, right? I mean, this is like the fourth or fifth generation.
Yeah,
that they've
fourth
had,
or fifth.
Like Christmas and all this other stuff. 10 million downloads in 3 days.
Yeah, so it's available on PCs. It's available on Macs, all the Apple iOS devices, you know, iPhone, iPod, iPad, all those, Android. And the reason it hit 10 million copies in 3 days is very clear, because I've played all of them. This is probably the best Angry Birds ever.
Why? What makes it different?
They have a lot of money now, so they can develop even better products. When this company started out, Angry Birds was their first game launch that was really successful.
It's like a catapult game, right?
Right.
It's like catapulting something.
And, yeah. Yeah. So what they've done in Angry Birds in space, there's a couple of different things. You're not just catapulting. You're dealing with gravitational forces of planets.
Oh, so it's a physics lesson.
Yes, it is totally a physics. So as I found myself playing this thing, I'm sitting here thinking about trajectory. This is great for kids, by the way, not because it makes them think. It's not just a game where you just flick birds at pigs. You have to think about trajectory, and now you have to look at gravitational pull. There's physics involved in this game. It's a game that makes you think, even though the end result is you're launching these birds at these
at pigs.
It is so much fun.
For anyone that's never ever, for those of that have never played the game, they hear us talking about this like, really? You're spending hard-hitting stuff, guys. You know what? Give it a shot. How much is Angry Birds in Space now?
Okay, so if you get it on the iPhone, the iPod, it's 99 cents. It ranges from 99 cents, depending on the device, up to a few dollars for the PC download version.
So you have to buy a separate one for each device?
Yeah, okay. You can use the iPod and iPhone version on the iPad. You just have to hit the two times button.
Yeah.
The one for the iPad, by the way, is already optimized for the new Retina display.
Uh-huh.
So if you have one of the new iPads, playing Angry Birds on it is really visually...
I can't imagine it is.
Gorgeous.
It can't be.
It's gorgeous.
It's a cartoon.
But it's beautiful.
Right.
So check it out, Angry Birds in Space. It's worth the 99 cents for your smartphone, and if you like it, then you can go buy the more better one.
Hey, I had a quick question from somebody on Facebook asking about that whole, do I really need to eject my flash drive before I unplug it from my computer?
You know, that's a question I ask too, because the guys in our data recovery lab, I got to tell you, if they're sitting with me talking and they see me pull the flash drive out without ejecting it, the look I get from them, you would think that like my clothing fell off.
Well, you, that's a visual I can't deal with right now. What you have to understand is that the act of pulling that drive out, you don't actually know. It's almost like you don't know if somebody else is using that.
Okay.
So you literally could be pulling the chair out from underneath a program that's, you know, a piece of data that's trying to sit down.
Yeah, but doesn't it flash? I mean, my drive flashes and lights up and does, like, when it's transferring data, you can see the light blinking.
Sure, that's an active transfer, right?
Right.
But if a program is working with a piece of data, a lot of times it does temporary saves. And then when the program closes or when it says, I'm done, then it finishes, right? Then it does the complete writing. There's no way for you to look at the flashing light and go, okay, I don't have to worry about this. Don't ever use that as a method. Always use the, you know, eject option. You right-click on the device and say eject this so that it's safe to remove it. Make sure you get that it's safe to remove message to ensure your data got written.
Coming up, it's a scary problem. What do you do with a registry problem?
Plus, remote repair, is it an option for you, and is it safe?
It's coming up right here on the Data Doctors radio program. Sit tight.
If you have kids, you have fingerprints. They touch everything. Your laptop, your smartphone, your tablets, your big screen TVs.
In my home, you can't pick up a device that isn't covered in kitty paw prints, smears, boogers.
Boogers?
Ugh.
Yeah. Never use soap and water on your electronics for obvious reasons. And for goodness sake, never, ever, ever use a glass cleaner with ammonia. It'll destroy the finish, especially on those flat panel displays.
That's why Data Doctors developed Screen Clean. As the name implies, it's safe for your screens, all of them.
Screen Clean is formulated for today's technology. LCDs, smartphones, iPads, Kindles. If you've got a screen, you need to keep it clean.
We have two convenient sizes, one for the home and office, and a travel size that's TSA approved.
Stop trying to read between the fingerprints. Get Screen Clean at the Data Doctor store nearest you.
To find the store, go to datadoctors.com and click the Find a Location button.
Data Doctors Screen Clean, because clean is clearly better.
From the obscure language file, Facebook is making some changes in their rights and responsibilities terms. If approved, account holders may not use the words face, poke, or book.
Huh?
We have a few words for Facebook. Nuts, stoned, and crazy. You can't trademark those words. Faces, walls, poking, books, they've been around long before you guys.
They can have poke.
Yeah, stay up to date on this and everything we talk about at datadoctors.com/radio.
Technology for your technology.
Data Doctors radio program.
And as always, the Data Doctors are standing by for you at facebook.com/datadoctors.
Julie popped in with a question. She's having an error. It's an error message that she keeps getting. It's msiexe.exe. Every time I try to load a disk or download an update, I've tried to fix it with PC Cleaner. It doesn't work. I used Speedy PC Pro. Now my computer won't stop trying to install something, and it's next to impossible to get it to shut down. What is going on with Julie's PC?
So Julie fell for what a lot of people fall for, which is these fancy little programs that claim that, oh, you just run us and we'll clean you up and everything's great. First of all, that msiexe.exe file, that actually is an actual Microsoft installation utility. It's part of the something's going on in that installation process, like something didn't finish installing or something along that line.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's serious corruption in the Windows registry. And unfortunately, by using these quick fix programs, obviously they didn't work.
Right.
Because they rarely do when you're having a problem of this nature. She probably made it even worse. So at this point, somebody's going to have to go in and actually examine. It's like a medical process. Somebody has to examine the entrails to figure out what has happened, to figure out what needs to happen. So she's got two choices. Somebody that understands the Windows registry has to jump into this thing and really do a hands-on look at this thing and figure out what's going on and fix it so that she doesn't have to reinstall everything. Or she wants to do the easiest do-it-yourself fix for all these things is to wipe everything out and start over. The problem is
You got to
wipe everything out.
And
you're starting over. No programs, no data, no favorites, no printers. No, I mean, it's a nightmare to do that.
Now, Ken, help me out here. Programs like this Speedy PC Pro,
yeah.
Do they have any value, any benefit, or once it's damaged, is it my understanding that once you've got a damage problem, that's when these things are useless?
You know those commercials you'll see where you basically can wash your car without actually washing your car?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there... I mean, if that stuff worked...
Right, the dry car wash.
Car washes would be out of business.
Right.
Okay? If these programs that could fix every problem for you worked, Data Doctors wouldn't have a business.
You mean we wouldn't be on the radio either?
We wouldn't be on the radio. We'd be driving cabs.
I'd be sad.
And you'd have to pick up an accent. But listen, there's a reason why we have a thriving business. And the more you use these quick fix programs to fix complex problems, the more business we get, because you've now taken a problem that was probably manageable and made it really intensely difficult to fix. Because what these programs do is they go in and they make assumptions and they say, well, it's supposed to look like this. So we're just going to rip this part of this thing out. And they're like doing surgery without actually thinking about, well, yeah, what's this organ? Nah, we don't think you need it. Boom, just
get rid of it.
Yeah. And so now you have no heart. So, yeah, you've got to be really, really careful. So any $20, $30 program that says we can speed up your PC, we can do all those commercials you see, there's a reason why every time you turn it on, they have a different name for those programs.
Right.
Because as soon as the word gets out on that particular name, right, they have to change the name again, but it's the same scam, and people fall for it because they want that quick fix. Everybody wants instant gratification, and when it comes to computer problems, it doesn't work.
Hey, if you like all the tips, tricks, and warnings we give you here on the radio, we can also deliver them and more to your inbox. All you've got to do is subscribe to our weekly newsletter. Go to datadoctors.com/radio. Look for the newsletter box and type in your email address. And then you, too, can get all this great stuff.
So, hey, earlier in the show, we were talking about Google Chrome.
Yes.
How, you know, we really love Google Chrome.
We do.
One of the things about Google Chrome and Firefox and all these others is that you can go and actually get what are called add-ons or extensions that allow your browser to do special things. Like you can install scripting programs that basically will block advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't want to see banner ads anymore.
Right.
I don't like those because it can break other things, but you got to be careful. So that's a really cool part of these browsers. But unfortunately, because these add-ons have become so popular, guess what's happened?
Yeah. So hackers are now uploading malicious Chrome extensions to the official Google Chrome web store. So what that means is when you go there looking for one of these legitimate apps or extensions, you could click on the wrong one. You could click on one that looks legit, but it's developed by a hacker.
Right, and Google hasn't figured out that it's a malicious program yet. So that,
right.
You know, there's this whole process. So what do they do?
Well, I haven't gotten to what they do. I want to tell them what give them a little warning.
Okay, go ahead.
If you click on one of these, what they're hoping to do is trick you into downloading them, and once you download them, they have complete access to your Facebook account. They're hijacking your Facebook account.
The most recent scam one that was out there?
Correct.
Yeah.
Now you can tell them what they're doing.
Well, first of all, just like with your computer, we recommend the Zen approach, which is keep it simple, silly. Less is more.
Right.
The less garbage you have on your browser, in your Windows, and your Mac, as far as the programs that automatically launch and get involved in this, the better. You really want to be very, very particular about any add-ons, Google Chrome, Firefox, Internet Explorer, anything you add to the browser, all those extra little toolbars and things that appear.
Yep.
You want to minimize all of that for a couple of reasons. One, it's going to run faster, without question.
Sure.
Less is more. You're always going to run faster. And two, you can start to get conflicts between them as well. And now you have the additional problem of that might actually be a malicious program, just like everything else that's out there.
You know, when I first started using web browsers way back when, there was no customization available. And for a lot of us, there was none. As customization became more readily available, people started tweaking it because they want it to be something that they're comfortable with, that they like. The problem with all of these customizers is they not only open you up to this stuff, but they bog it down and it gets slower.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just like a computer. The more crap you add to it, the worse it gets.
So you know how they can make sure that an extension is safe or it's one that they might think about?
Hmm.
listen to our radio show, watch our Facebook page, and subscribe to our weekly newsletter, because when we see something we think has value, we will actually tell you about it.
And if you ever have a question for the program, you can hit us up at facebook.com/datadoctors.
Remember, as the show rolls on, if you miss any of it, you can always find the stuff we're talking about at datadoctors.com/radio, including our podcast for those of you who download and listen.
If you ever have a tech problem you need human help with, that's what we do all week long in our stores all across the country.
That's right. We can help you in our stores, in your home, at your business, or we can even remote in right over the internet and help you.
Sit tight. Hour number two just ahead. And if you hate Facebook's timeline, you want to get rid of it, you won't want to miss this one.
That's this is the Data Doctors radio program.
Data Doctors report to the studio. You're live in 2 minutes.
This is the Data Doctor's two-minute drill.
Mr. Moskowitz, in order for us to continue this job interview, we'll need to be able to take a look at your Facebook profile, please.
Hell no!
Sir, we require that you show us everything on your Facebook profile, and we'll need to come to your house and look at your mail. And
I'd rather flip burgers and give you French fries.
And we'll also need to examine all of the underwear in your drawer to see if there are any streak marks.
What is wrong with these employers thinking that it's okay to ask for your password?
Because they are what we call cyber tards. They don't understand the basic principles of this very clear communication channel. They don't use it. They just see it as a way to dive into people's psyche and who they are and whatever, and it makes it easier to make good decisions about who I'm going to hire.
Yeah, I think that they are setting themselves up for potential lawsuits is what this is.
Well, they're already in violation of Facebook's terms of service. You're not allowed to share that information. You're not allowed to share your profile credentials.
Forget about Facebook. Let's talk about the federal law.
There isn't one on this. That's why they're doing it.
Right, but if let's say a person doesn't get a job because they found something on their Facebook profile that they didn't like. Now, I know there's burden of proof.
Which is impossible at this point. Somebody looked at it and said,
man, this is stupid. You companies out there who think that this is a smart business practice, first of all, you're screwing yourself because you're getting rid of potentially really good candidates for that job.
And if those of you have been in that position, run! Run away! Run away! These people are not who you want to work for.
Don't do it.
Cyber tards.
Stand by.
Cue intro music in 5 seconds.
4, 3, 2.
Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
The show rolls on, and it's time to listen, laugh, and learn once again. Welcome back to the Data Doctors radio program.
Yeah, during the week, we spend our time helping people in our stores and their offices and their homes all around the country. And we bring that experience to the radio to help all of you listening.
We are the Data Doctors. Ken across from me, Brandon, he's on a road trip. Yep. And me, Spanky, here to provide you education and entertainment. We call it edutainment.
Hey, you're on the road and your computer has a problem. What do? Is remote repair a good option?
And as summer approaches, you might be shopping for a camera. Do you know what to look for when you're shopping?
Plus, you hate Facebook's timeline, right? So get rid of it, or maybe not.
Data Doctors radio program.
I don't hate Facebook's timeline.
No, I love it, but there are a plethora
of haters out there. I don't know why people hate Facebook's timeline. Facebook's timeline is fantastic.
Because change is hard.
You know what? It's probably because they're tards.
Clearly, it's not change you can believe in.
This is not a political show, sir. It's Geekspeak of the Week.
Yes, it's that portion of the show where we bring you a little aperitif of the vernacular of tech to help you understand some of the stuff that's going on.
Geekspeak of the Week.
These words that are used out there. Or just so you sound more cooler at your next cocktail party.
You know, I feel really weird not having my brother here saying Geekspeak of the Week.
Whatever, dude. This week's Geekspeak is Google Tard.
We all know a Google Tard.
Do we do? We all know a Google Tard.
You and me and Brandon know Google Tards.
Everyone out there knows a Google Tard. Or everyone out there has potentially put themselves in a position to be called a Googletard.
Yeah, so for those of you who can't figure out what a Googletard is, a Googletard is someone who can't find things on Google. You know, they can't understand the concept of keywords, generalization. They can spend hours searching for something on Google that a normal person can find, like, at
what,
the...
What do you mean, normal person?
Like, you and...
Normal. What's normal?
Okay, like an average person can find...
What's average?
Okay. People aren't Googletards.
Okay, so I have two things that I'd like to add to this. Is let's help people break the chains, if you will, of being a Googletard.
Googletardation?
Yeah. So one of the biggest mistakes people make when they type in something into Google is they either put too little or too much in.
Sure.
Right? So if you put too many words in, nothing's going to show up.
For example, what is the color of the Blue Mountains in Tennessee? Is it Blue Mountains in Tennessee?
I don't know.
Okay. But if you put in that as, I mean, that is a really long question.
Well, I mean, let's use, you know, where can I find data doctors, right? Mm-hmm. Data and doctors are two different words.
Sure.
One of the things you can do to reduce the number of things you get back, because under that circumstance, you're going to get everything that has the word data and everything that has the word doctors. By putting data doctors in quotation marks, you're telling Google, only bring me back results where those two words are together in that order. So
right.
You can really reduce a lot of things that's going on. There are so many switches, what they call switches for Google. So most Googletards don't do anything except the same thing that they've done from like the first day that they've ever done anything on Google. So they haven't taught themselves about some of the simple little adjustments you can make to a search condition that are going to vastly improve your results.
So for example, minus is an actual switch. So if you're searching for something, And I, of course, right this minute, I'm having one of those moments where the brain just isn't connecting the dots. If you're searching for something and you want to eliminate something in that search, you use the minus key. Ken, help me out with an example. My brain is totally south.
How about the chicken breast recipe and you do a minus cancer or something?
Right.
Minus.
Because what will happen
How about this? You're looking up information for the Jaguars.
Okay.
The football, right?
Right.
So you could do minus car. So I don't want anything with the Jag, the car. I want Jaguar, the professional football
right.
team.
Right. So that is a switch. So if you know someone who's a Googletard, we have a website just for you.
Well, here's a way for you to help them understand how to start using Google.
How to become better Googlers.
Yes.
And it's LMGTFY.
Which is?
Let me Google that for you.
Yeah, one of our favorites.
It's a website. And for those of you who know Googletards, go there first. You'll figure out very quickly how this website works. It's let me Google that for you, and you will have a blast.
Yeah, you just put in the information, and anyway, just go check out let me Google that for you for all of you that want to help your friends become more Google smart.
So, got a problem we ran into this week.
Yeah.
My friend Al, he's on the road, and he had a problem with his computer.
You can call me Al?
Yes. Oh. Not that Al.
Oh.
He had a problem with his computer, and he said, hey, I need help. Can you remote into my computer and fix it? Help me see what's going on. I'm like, yeah. And just moments later, we got a question on Facebook about, hey, remote repair. Is it something that's safe? They were having an issue with Microsoft. And so.
Yeah, there's the good one and then
and
there's the bad,
the bad one.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about what remote repair is and what it isn't.
Well, let's just call it remote help, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you run into a problem with your computer and you want some help. And you know the traditional process is you call somebody. They're talking to you on something they can't see. You're trying to explain things to them that you're seeing. It's just a mess. So a long time ago, the ability for that person to be able to remote in and see what you're seeing so that it's much quicker to get to the problem and fix the problem became very in vogue. It's a very safe thing to do, provided you trust the resource you're talking to. And this is where the scam comes in.
Right. So as long as you know that the company, if a company solicits you and says, hey, we're seeing that you're having a problem with your Microsoft XYZ and we can remote in and fix that for you. No.
We're actually seeing that more and more now. I mean, it started about a year and a half ago. We're getting more and more people saying, hey, I got a call from somebody that said that they're from Microsoft.
Yeah.
They had this very strange, sounded like an Indian accent, and they're claiming that our machine is reporting a virus and that they can remote in and fix it. Those are the people you want to stay away from.
Yeah.
But if you call data doctors or you call whoever it is that you work with.
Right.
And they offer to do a remote session with you. that is entirely safe, because the way that works is you have to provide them with access. You have to approve that connection, and you also control and can see when that connection has been terminated. So the only thing, the only time they can see what's going on with your computer is during that session, not like way after in the middle of the night and everybody's freaking out about, oh, they can get back in.
And don't worry, when you connect, all these connections are encrypted and secure. So it's safe. And if you don't like something that's going on, because you can see what's going on, you can click disconnect anytime. It's super easy.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Still ahead, how to get rid of Facebook's timeline?
Plus, Technology 2012. What are some of the cool things on the technology horizon?
Yeah, we'll talk about it right here. Ken and Spanky at the Data Doctors Radio Program.
We know lots of you listen to the Data Doctors Radio Program so you can share our tips and tricks with your friends and family. But did you know you can share more than that? You can share us.
That's right. Just because your friends and family don't live near a Data Doctor store doesn't mean they can't experience our award-winning service, the same service you've trusted since 1988.
We can help them physically or virtually. That means we can come to them in their home, at their office, or we can remote in anywhere they are.
We only allow highly skilled, trustworthy U.S.-based technicians to come to you or to connect to your computer. No more of this,
thank you for calling tech support.
And, of course, the connection is encrypted and secure.
Now you can get Data Doctor's award-winning service anywhere you travel, and you can introduce your friends and family to our service.
Data Doctors, our service is convenient, safe, and secure, and we're based right here in the U.S. of A. That means we don't speak tech babble. We speak English.
Help is just a phone call away, 888-545-1988.
That's toll-free anywhere in the U.S., 888-545-1988.
Data Doctors, tell your friends we can fix it now.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
Hello, mate. If you fancy the tips, tricks, and warnings that you hear on the radio show all the time, you can get all that great info delivered right to your inbox, should you desire. Just simply subscribe to our weekly newsletter. As always, everything we're talking about, datadoctors.com/radio, including a little box for you to put your email address in if you'd like our newsletter. It's free.
I thought you were doing the Australian version of our show for a second.
I don't know how to do
it. I was concerned, mate.
Yeah. All right.
Is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
You can connect with us anytime you have a question. Facebook.com/Data Doctors. We are there 24/7, 365.
Questions about shrimps on the bobby?
Yeah, we can't answer those questions. I can tell you how to get salmonella.
Packing your car?
Yeah, it's Boston.
Coffee?
We're not doing that version of the show today.
Right.
Pete has a problem. And Pete,
I'll bet he does. I heard Pete has more issues than the New York Times.
Ken is in one of those moods today that I just want to shoot myself in the foot.
No, it's decaf.
Okay, you should drink more of it. All of a sudden, his DVD RW drive, that would be DVD
rewritable.
On his HP Pavilion is not registering. It doesn't show up on his computer listing all the devices, all the drives, or respond when I insert a disk or try to burn something. He's done a few things to check it. This is the weird thing. When he signed in as an admin, it'll read CDs. But any other accounts, it's non-existent on the computer. What's wrong with it? And I'm going to tell you right away, I've got my first guess.
What is it?
It doesn't like you, Pete.
No, that's not it. So the age of that device probably suggests that the drive's been around for a while. One of the most cantankerous components of a computer are the optical drives.
Sure.
And when I say optical drives, that's your CD-ROM, DVD.
Yeah,
and usually it's a combo device. So the laser that picks up the CD and works with CDs is not necessarily the same as the laser that's used to read and write data for a DVD.
Shut the front door. You mean there's two different lasers in this thing?
There's definitely different circuitry, and there's all kinds of things where one might work and the other won't. Okay, so it's possible that it's a malfunctioning device or component itself, drive itself. It's very, very common, especially in a laptop where you can kind of get things jarred. There's an alignment issue for all optical drives, that if your lasers are out of alignment, then you get a really weird set of circumstances.
Sure.
In this case, he's saying that the DVDs, if I'm reading this right, the DVD portion of the device is not even showing up.
Right.
So that would suggest definitely driver issues, which he said he's checked. So if I had to guess based on this, it sounds like the drive itself might have to go.
Yeah.
But really what this underscores is there's probably 8 or 10 different possibilities with this particular situation. And someone that can actually troubleshoot, that has the experience to really go through and understand
right. How
this, you know, I mean, if you just want to do what people do with their cars and they go, I'll just go buy a part and try it and see what happens. I mean, you can certainly do that.
You can spend a lot of money buying parts.
Parts is parts.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, then you have to install the software and you have to make sure that it's compatible with everything else you're doing. And I mean, so there's a lot that goes into these things. What sounds like, I mean, we hear it all the time. Oh, I just got this simple problem. Mom and dad, boys and girls, no such thing as a simple problem when it comes to your computer. It's like pulling that string on the sweater. I'm just pulling this one string. Oh, my word. What just happened? My arm fell off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so it's really, really important, especially with so many variables like this. This is where you really need a relationship with somebody you trust to help you make good decisions about your technology. So go hug your computer guy, Pete. Go find your computer guy and have him actually help you determine what the course of action might be.
And just like you, the listener, I'm talking to you. If you can hear my voice, you are the listener. I learn something new every time I listen to the show.
Well, we try to do that as well. One other thing to think about. A lot of you out there, the reason you listen to the show is you like to do this stuff yourself. Great. That's what we're here for, is to give you assistance and help and guidance and whatever it is that we can do. You know, almost 25 years of doing this. The other option you have as a do-it-yourselfer is you can go to a professional organization and get a diagnosis done by them and then say, based on that diagnosis, I'm confirming, I'm getting a second opinion about my best course of action, and then go do the work yourself. For instance, we charge $59 to do what we call a PC physical, which we go through the whole thing, then come back to you with our suggestions on all the different things that we'd suggest you think about doing, and you choose which ones you want to do. Well, you can then say, okay, well, now I have a professional estimate of what's wrong. I'm going to go fix this myself. There's nothing wrong with that as well. So keep that in mind if you're a do-it-yourselfer.
And Pete, thanks for your question. Also, earlier this week, Justin posted on our Facebook wall, again, facebook.com/datadoctors. He got a new iPhone, wanted to know if there's a way to import U.S. holidays into the calendar without having to add them individually. Justin, of course there is. And so what I'm going to do for you guys listening, if you want to add those calendars, I have a permalink. We're going to put it up right now. And you
a permalink. What's a permalink?
A permalink. It's a permanent link to the actual question and answer.
Oh, because it was on our
Facebook page.
But because it's so far down the timeline, instead of telling people, just go search for it.
Right.
You're going to permanently link to that post.
Correct. And I'm going to give you the how-to at datadoctors.com/radio. There's a link there so you don't have to go looking for it. Okay.
Hey, ever go shopping for a new camera in one of those big box stores? And what are you using for your criteria to make a decision? Oh, that one looks cool.
Yeah.
Well, that one's a good deal.
It's got a lot of bells and whistles.
We know a little something about cameras, don't we? A
couple things.
The Ken and Ken show here?
Yeah. So
what do they need to know before they make a decision?
So first of all, a lot of people look at cameras, and the first thing they think of is, wow, it's got this really awesome zoom. It's got an optical zoom and a digital zoom. First of all, let me explain what the difference is. You want to look at the optical zoom.
Only.
Right, because digital zoom is...
junk.
It's horrible. It's a computer-animated version of the picture.
Yeah, you're doing a really bad cropping job.
Yeah, it's horrific. But you want to look at zooms. Look at the short zoom and the long zoom. Pick a spot really far away and see how it zooms in, and then zoom in slowly. Does the camera's autofocus go hunting and pecking when it's looking for the spot, for that focus spot, or does it just lock in on it really quickly? You want to look for little things like that. That's an important thing. Also, shutter lag.
Oh, my God. The number one complaint from digital camera owners.
Yeah. People have gotten used to with smartphones. You have to push the button and you wait and you wait and then
hold
suddenly.
Hold still.
Right. And the same thing with these little PhDs. Those are cameras that I call push here, dummy. You push the button.
Geek speak of the week number two.
PhDs. You sit there and you wait for the camera to actually take the picture. Meanwhile, your kids have turned the other way because the shutter takes too long to click. Power on time is another one.
Yeah, that's an easy one to test.
Right.
How long does it take so that I can just pop this thing on and take a picture? And then the last one, the image stabilization that's becoming a big deal. Test that in the store. Take some pictures while you're moving the camera around, especially at distance, and see which camera takes the best picture with all that movement. That's an important part.
On the other side of the break, how to get rid of Facebook's timeline. Finally, we, the Data Doctors, have your answer.
Or not. Plus, Apple is a household name. Really? Now,
it is.
It is.
No, really.
It is?
It is.
Isn't it?
We're popular people.
We're half of you.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Making Mac fanboy proud today. The question is, what percentage of U.S. households own at least one Apple product?
The answer? All of us?
Nope. But you can find the answer at datadoctors.com/radio. It might surprise you.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
So you want to get rid of Facebook's timeline, huh, Bob?
I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know, I need someone.
Help. You know, the last few weeks, we've been talking about on the radio program Facebook timeline. There's a lot of people who don't like it. They want to get rid of it. They think it sucks. And Bob is in that camp.
Well, Bob wrote in and asked, or he posted on our Facebook page, says, saw a post about claims that FB Purity can remove timeline from my Facebook profile. And his question was, is this link worth trying? And so, the first thing I would tell people is the number of scams out there focusing on people that hate timelines,
sure,
are growing by the day. So the first thing is you've got to be really, really, really careful about anything that claims that they can make a change to timeline. To be technical on this, FB Purity is a script that actually does change the view of Facebook,
right,
for you.
Not for everyone else.
Not for the rest of the world. And it doesn't actually change anything. Facebook is not going to allow you not to use timeline. So even if you do get these tools, what you're doing is you're changing your view on that browser for that one computer. So if you do this at the office, you put FB Purity on there. As soon as you go home and log into your Facebook profile, it's going to be, wait a minute, what happened? Timeline's back.
It's like putting a beauty filter on a camera lens.
Rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, it just gives, just for that one look, it's beautiful.
Just for you, everyone else is seeing you with those dorky glasses on.
But this is a moment and a time where I want to get a little bit soapboxy here about Facebook's timeline. Because look, nothing is perfect. Facebook isn't perfect. Pinterest isn't perfect. But I have to say, for you timeline haters, and I know a lot of people who just think it is the worst thing ever, if you stop the hate and the, well, I don't like this, and look at what timeline does for you. Look at what it does for your life on Facebook, because most of us live on Facebook, at least the numbers say so. Timeline is probably the best thing that they've ever created. It simplifies finding key moments in your life. It simplifies your ability to look back. You know, Ken, for example, you went back a year ago to look at something and you thought, oh, wow, this is so easy on timeline. Whereas before...
Yeah, it would have been a nightmare.
A nightmare.
Well, especially for those of you that are trying to find things that we've talked about in the past.
Sure.
It's real easy now for you to start digging around and looking at the stuff that we've posted. We'd like to think that everything we post has value. So you could like just choose something from a year ago or 6 months ago, click in there and just see what we were talking about back then. It's so easy to do now instead of going, show me more,
yeah,
show me more,
yeah,
show me more,
if you
show
wanna,
me more.
And if you want to dig for something that was, let's say, from last summer, you can actually go to July. You can go to August. You could pinpoint the moment in time.
So,
and that's why timeline is so great.
But getting back to the question.
Yes,
and,
I'm sorry,
in
Bob.
In summation, we do not recommend you fall for any, whether it's legitimate, which most of them are not. You're fooling yourself, even if you get one of these little plugins that hides the fact that timeline is still there.
Right.
You cannot. Facebook has made it clear. You don't have a choice. And in fact, you business owners, your business page just flipped over. Right? With
yep,
or without your
yep,
help. And if you haven't gone and set your thing up so that it looks decent, then shame on you. If you have a business page, go set it all up and educate yourself on how to use timeline for your business page. Because it's really, really cool. It's helpful.
It's a fantastic tool. It's a better way to connect. I would run out and do it.
Here's why I am going to predict that this will all wash over here shortly.
Okay.
You know when the last time there was a like, we're quitting Facebook and we're never going to use it again and you suck, we'll never.
You know when the last time this happened at this level?
I have to think about this.
2006, when they introduced the news stream.
Oh, that's right.
The thing that everybody wants today
yeah.
is what they were all screaming about 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Yeah, and times change. People will catch up.
They will.
They'll modify their thought process.
Get with the program.
Hey, if you ever wanted one of those Dell smartphones.
Why?
Well, I know. You might want to go shopping on eBay. Dell just announced earlier in the week that they're pulling the plug on making smartphones.
Actually, what you probably want to tell people is if you were considering buying a Dell smartphone, maybe you should not do that yeah. since they're telling you we're going to abandon you.
Yeah, and another one bites the dust. We got the gory details on the story, datadoctors.com/radio.
Hey, this year,
the year
2012, for those innovation. Of you listening to this archive 5 years from now, the year 2012 will be probably one of the most exciting years and innovative years in the world of computing. And not because of computers, and not because of tablets, and not because of smartphones, but because of all of the technology that's evolving on how we interact with these devices.
So if you recall, back last June, I think it was, when Brandon and I went to E3, the big gaming conference in Los Angeles, one of the things that we reported about when we came back were these things that allowed you to control your computer screen with your eyes. Eye control.
Like you can turn a page by looking.
By just looking in the corner and then acting.
It's watching your eye, and it sees that your eye is going down there, and it goes, boom.
So, eye control, one of the big innovations coming forward in 2012.
Gesture control, which was made popular by the Kinect for the Xbox 360.
Right.
Which I will tell you, we got one, and it is absolutely amazing.
Rock solid.
And my son started hacking around and finding all the hacker code and made it so you could use it on the computer.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Also, advanced touchscreen control. Wearable input devices. The list goes on and on. Speech control. If you can speak our English, okay?
Something like that.
When we come back, Hotmail is upgrading their servers and purging inactive accounts. Or are they?
And have you ever used Skype? Wouldn't it be great if you could record your conversation?
You can do that?
Maybe.
I would like
Stay to. Stay tuned. It's the Data Doctors radio program. If you have kids, you have fingerprints. They touch everything. Your laptop, your smartphone, your tablets, your big screen TVs.
In my home, you can't pick up a device that isn't covered in kitty paw prints, smears, boogers.
Boogers.
Ugh.
Yeah. Never use soap and water on your electronics for obvious reasons. And for goodness sake, never, ever, ever use a glass cleaner with ammonia. It'll destroy the finish, especially on those flat panel displays.
That's why Data Doctors developed Screen Clean. As the name implies, it's safe for your screens, all of them.
Screen Clean is formulated for today's technology. LCDs, smartphones, iPads, Kindles. If you've got a screen, you need to keep it clean.
We have two convenient sizes, one for the home and office, and a travel size that's TSA approved.
Stop trying to read between the fingerprints. Get Screen Clean at the Data Doctor store nearest you.
To find the store, go to datadoctors.com and click the Find a Location button.
Data Doctors Screen Clean, because clean is clearly better.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
We have another Facebook tip for you. Did you know that when a friend posts a picture, you know, you click on the picture and you're looking at it, you want to like it, you don't have to, like, use your hand and your mouse and try to find the little tiny like link. Just hit the letter L for like.
L is for like.
It's a hidden tip that most people don't know on Facebook.
I like that. And if you forget the tip and you need the link, datadoctors.com/radio.
Just the tip, please.
Thank you.
Tech knowledge for your technology.
Data Doctors radio program.
And Facebook.com/DataDoctors is where you can ask your question anytime, anywhere.
You mean like Monica?
Like Monica.
Monica?
Monica got an email from Hotmail.
Yeah.
They wanted her full username, password, all the whole thing.
Right.
Because it said they're upgrading their database due to congestion.
Congestion.
And, yes, and Hotmail servers and inactive accounts.
Okay.
The email also stated that they're going to use this information to verify her account.
I see.
And of course, her question is this
okay? So
is this legitimate?
I'm Microsoft. I have this service called Hotmail.
Yes.
That you signed up for. That you gave me all this information.
Yes.
I know your IP address that you typically use.
Yes.
I know all these things without having to ask you. And I'm now suddenly going to ask, is like going to play charades? Sounds like. It's like, are you who you say you are?
What if they lost all their information?
Who?
Hotmail.
Right.
Yeah.
Guys, that would be on every news station.
Yeah.
In every newspaper. In, come on.
All over the world. Yeah. So Monica, run. Run as fast as you can in the other direction.
Okay, but let's because run's not necessarily going to help people, right?
No.
What's the best thing that they can do if they think this might be legitimate? Click on the link?
No. What you could do, first and foremost, is the hover trick.
Well, I mean, that again, I 100% of the time, I will tell you, never click. Don't even consider clicking on the link.
Right.
If you think Hotmail actually sent you something because there's some service interruption or some issue, I assure you that when you log into your account, they will tell you, we have a problem. We need you to, right? But that's after you connected in and logged in with your account.
Yeah, just like any of those big social networks like Facebook, if there's a problem when you log in, you're going to get a screen, alert, a warning, something that tells you. They're not going to send you a notification, just like your bank is not going to send you a notification that says, we need you to reset your PIN number on your debit card.
Right, but listen, banks do send notices.
Right.
But not those kinds of notices. The problem is, if we say, well, some notices from your bank are legit and some of them, no. I'm going to tell you that anything you get an email that sounds like a warning, or don't ever click on any of the links, even if you think it's legit, always go yourself. Go open up a browser. Go to your Hotmail account. Go to your banking account. You go manually log in.
Right.
And if the information that was sent to you in email comes up as a warning or an alert, then you know it was legit, but you still don't have to click on that. So just, we want people to stop clicking on links on email altogether.
Right. Get out of the habit of clicking the link that's there and go to the source itself that you know and you love and you use.
That's the only advice we can give you that's 100% safe. Because
all
if we
time.
Tell you that sometimes it's legit, and if you hover, the hover trick just tells you absolutely it's a scam.
Right.
It doesn't tell you that it's safe.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
I like your points,
that's
Ken.
That's how
you're a smart dude.
It happens.
Hey, if you use Skype, you know, to chat with people.
Yeah, we use it all the time.
You know, now you can keep those calls forever.
What?
You can record them.
What?
There's an app for that if you're Windows user.
Oh, so you don't have to, like, hold your phone out and record the call? And
No, there's an app for that. We've got a link for it. It's a free Skype call recorder.
Now, this is for computers, not for smartphones.
Correct.
You can't record a smartphone, Skype.
No, and it's available for Windows users only.
That's all that matters. Those of us that use Windows.
Why the hate?
No hate. It's just that people that use Macs don't know how to use Skype.
Even
it's too difficult.
Even when Brandon isn't here, I'm getting ripped on.
Not just you.
Send all your hate mail.
The Mac Nation.
Ken. Well, I'm sorry?
The Mac Nation.
Yes.
I'm going after everybody with a beige toaster.
And the reason we don't is because we have FaceTime, which only works with other Mac products.
Right. And you can't record it.
And you can't use it on your new iPad.
Anyway, check out that free Skype call recorder. It's really simple, really cool. And mom and dad, you can actually set it up in stealth mode. So if you want to record your kids' Skype conversations.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a little detective tool. Too.
That's kind of nasty.
But don't tell anybody I told you.
Datadoctors.com/radio to get the link.
Hey, you think somebody like the co-founder of Microsoft might have the ability to maintain security levels? And certainly you wouldn't think somebody but like Paul Allen, co-founder of Microsoft, would ever have a problem with ID theft, would you?
No, why would he? He uses Microsoft Security Essentials.
You know, that won't help you.
No?
Well, it's a cautionary tale that here's somebody that is a technologist that lives, eats, breathes, is a bazillionaire, right?
Sure.
14th richest guy on the planet. He had his ID stolen. An ID thief basically got a hold of his credentials and convinced a bank to send and change the address of the sending info for his banking account from Silicon Valley to Pittsburgh or somewhere in Pennsylvania.
What bank, what person at that bank?
It's not a person.
Well, there's got to be a person
at
some point.
Automation.
Oh, he did it all electronically.
Sure.
Jeez.
So the point is, it's not really 100% up to you whether your ID gets stolen, your identity gets stolen or not, or messed with. ID stolen is, or the ID identity
theft.
Stolen is a
Identity theft?
That's kind of overblowing it.
Yeah.
He got a bank to send him a credit card as if he was Paul Allen. So he didn't steal his identity. He basically used it to get one.
He pretended to be Paul Allen. I wonder what that credit line would be like.
But again, this had nothing to do with Paul Allen.
No, it just happened to be he picked a high-profile person.
Yeah, but this guy tricked the bank, not Paul Allen.
So what are some of the things you can do as a computer user to protect your identity?
Well, I mean, we've talked about it over and over and over again. Don't click on all those links. Don't give up all that information on phishing attempts and those kinds of things. But really what you need to be doing is monitoring your credit account so that you understand when somebody actually makes a change to your credit.
And if you didn't hear the show where we talked about creditkarma.com, that is a site to go.
It's a free service, yeah.
Great place to go.
Creditkarma.com.
Hey, if you have any questions for the show anytime we're not doing the radio show, you can ask us at facebook.com/datadoctors.
And, of course, if you missed any of today's program, you can always catch up at datadoctors.com/radio, including downloading our podcast.
And if you ever have a tech problem you need human help with, that's what we do all week long in our stores all across the country.
That's right. We can help you live and in person. Go to datadoctors.com to click the store locator and come on in.
We'll even do a free PC checkup while you wait. We can help you in the store, in your home, at your business. We can even remote in right over the internet and help you.
And so until next week, when we chat on Facebook, it's the Data Doctor's Ken and Spanky saying it's time to reboot. And
this is the Data Doctor's radio program.
We out.
I guess that means we're done.
We are.
Ciao.